Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Track Podcast. I am Liv Ekpone, and of course, I'm missing my special guest, Ashley Titchens. She's actually in Orlando. We're about to call her in right this moment. But as you can see, I am super excited to be in this brand new, beautiful space here in the headquarters of Flow Sports. This is going to be our new studio, and I am literally feeling all the vibes for this. As I mentioned, Ashley Titchens is on the ground. She's actually in Orlando, Florida right now, covering the U.S. Marathon Trial. So we're about to bring her on at this moment. There's my girl, Ashley. So happy to see you. How are things going in Orlando right now?
Things in Orlando are going fine. You know, I've been here since Monday and, you know, just been getting some content with some different brands out here. And, you know, I will say I've been running out here and that humidity is no joke, even when it's, you know, the temperature isn't super hot. So, yeah, and then I'll be here through the end of the week covering the trials, and I'm really pretty stoked about it.
I know, it's super pumped. This is going to be such a great weekend for you, and I can't wait to see the results from the U.S. Marathon Trials. But before we dive into everything, so many things have happened over this weekend, so we're going to break down some of the fastest times in the world. A lot of records were taken down. We're going to break down some of our favorite moments of the weekend, and of course, we have to talk about marathon trials, which we will talk about towards the end of the show. But as always, we have a very special guest joining us today. So Ashley, who is joining us for the Flow Track Podcast today?
Yes, today we're joined by Bella Whitaker of Penn. And this weekend she had a spectacular performance in the 400 at the BU John Thomas Chair Classic. She clocked 51.69 to win the 400 there. I believe that was also an Ivy League record. And it currently ranks as one of the top times in the world this indoor season for 2024. So thank you, Bella, again, for joining us today. We're super excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm also super excited to be here.
Awesome. So, Bella, I know we had a chance to talk about before, and I just remember watching your race video, but now that you've had some time to kind of let it sink in, it's been a couple days since you ran your blazing 51.6, how are you feeling about just what you did over this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, when it happened, I had to really sit with it for a second. I had like a lot of people be like, why are you shocked? Like, we knew you were going to do something like that. And I'm like, yeah, me too. But it's just, I really had to sit with it, let it like sink in. And now, of course, as soon as it sinks in, then you're kind of like, okay, what's next? Like, what's on the agenda? What are we trying to do more? Like, so I'm already kind of eyes looking to the future a little bit.
Which is awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And now, I mean, shoot, like this is obviously, you know, you're going through all those emotions after the weekend, but I guess maybe you'd characterize this as like already off to the season, like you're off to a pretty breakthrough start. When you look at your progression over just the past year, you know, it's pretty easy to see how much stronger you've gotten. You know, when you set up new best last week, previously, I believe at the Penn Select 10 where you ran 52.96 and then you drop a 51.69 at, you know, BU. So What would you maybe attribute some of that progression and, you know, success to? Like, why do you think you've, you know, been able to go from that to where you are right now?
For sure. Yeah, thinking about last indoor season, I was kind of still come back from injury physically, but also mentally. Like, I was a little tapped. Like, it was not like I wasn't, it's not as if I wasn't tapped in. It's just you kind of get out of practice, and then, you know, coming back from injury, it's very stressful, very like expectations are really high, and you know, you don't always reach them. So that was kind of a tough time. Did a lot of physical and mental work to kind of get to where I am right now. I was putting in work over the summer with my coach. We did a lot of technique based. I didn't come in as a super clean runner. I muscled my way through most of my 400s. It worked for a little bit, not sustainable. So I think that a lot of it is working, kind of getting that nitty gritty work in terms of technique and that speed work. Mm-hmm. But I do attribute a lot to that, as well as kind of doing the mental work to kind of get my confidence back and know that I can kind of get back to where I was and then even surpass that.
Yeah. I believe Ashley texted me and she was like, Bella Whitaker just went 51.9. And I said, where's the race video? I got to see it. And I must say, you looked you looked strong. Like, you looked in your element. You looked confident. I know. And I had a chance to listen to your post-race interview with Phil Grove while you were on the ground. And you were like, I just want to lead from the front. And you made sure to do that. And at one point, I think after you cut in for that first 200 meters, there was like, I don't want to say there was some pushing and shoving, but you almost had like that misstep, but you were still able to overcome that and still come across like how you did. Can you just break down from where you were from the start all the way through the finish? Like, what was kind of going through your head and just what were you kind of focusing on each point of that race?
For sure. I think I was telling my brother, I was like, yeah, like I was locked in. Like, I was tapped in from the beginning. Like, I had like eyes on the prize.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the first 200 is always something that I struggle with because I'm not a great like get outer. Like, I have a hard time really getting to that top, like that top end speed quickly. Mm-hmm. So that's been something we've been working on, and something that my coach told me recently this past fall training was like, I'm like, you work best when you're in control. Mm. When you're not panicking, when like you get to control the race. So that's like what we're gonna work on, because we need you to be able to be in that position where you get to through the first 200 and you are feeling good and in control and not panicking. So that's definitely the goal, kind of the first 200. And then around that curve, it's a little bit of a maintain period. Not slowing down, but not quite again, like pushing quite yet. Obviously that little toss, so I was just worried I was gonna go like off the track. So I was just like, oh Lord, let me just not do that. But as soon as I get past that maintain period, I start my snowballs, what my coach and I call it, which is basically like every 50, just getting like digging a little bit deeper, getting a little bit faster. Mm. And so that last 150 has been super helpful. And I felt really strong, really pumping the arms, definitely feeling really fit right now. And looking back at the video, I was like, you look fit, like it's nice. Because I'm glad that everything's kind of coming together. Yeah.
When you crossed that finish line and you saw 51, what were you thinking? I know you mentioned in your post-race interview, you were like, I was kind of expecting it, so I wasn't so shocked. But what was the emotion? Because you just put your hands on your head and you're just like, oh my gosh. So what were you feeling when you saw that?
Yeah. Just like, I was just really happy. Like, you know, when you've been working at something for a really long time, obviously, like lots of trials and tribulations. My time here has not like been super smooth just with injury. And so it's kind of while I believed that was possible, it's different when you see the number on the screen. You're like, yeah, I just did that. That's pretty crazy. So it was just kind of just in, like insane happiness, just like gratitude for everything. My family was there, so it was just like the perfect time to just do it. So, yeah, super happy.
Now, I know, like, I feel like there's kind of, when you talk about, like, the BU track in particular, like, there's just this allure to it. It's known as being, like, obviously a super fast track. There have been so many great performances there. How would you just, like, did it feel, like, just as, I feel like people, they call it, like, mythical or something. Did it feel just as good and, like, nice as people always say it is?
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's a special track. The energy is just amazing there. And it's pretty small, like, in terms of, like, it's pretty crowded around, which I think creates this, like, kind of crazy energy of just excitement. And it just feels so full in there. So definitely let that overtake kind of my emotions and just feeling like I said, my family being there. So just that was also extra special. My sister was there, which was big. She was running later in the afternoon, and she literally took the shuttle just to come watch me race and then hopped back on the shuttle to go back to the hotel to rest up before her mile. So that was obviously super special. But yeah, BU is, the energy is unmatched. I knew that I wanted to come here last year. I was really upset that my team didn't get there. And I told my coach, I was like, I want to go to BU. So let's make it happen next year. So. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of your sister, we're huge fans of Juliet over here. And I know you, I follow Juliet on Instagram too. I need to follow you. As soon as we're done filming, I'm going to hit the follow button for you on Instagram. But it seems like you two are just so close. And I love that about you two. How did it feel just like having your sister there, but also just think about the years leading up to this moment, how you two have just been running together. And what was that like, just having that younger sister kind of just like following, I don't want to say in your footsteps, but you two are both doing amazing things in the sport. So what is that like, just having a sister that's competing with you on the track as well?
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. Obviously in high school, we ran on the same team together, had a lot of DMRs together, a lot of 4x8s even, can you believe it, 4x8s, and 4x4s. So it's really special to kind of be in this together. I mean, anyone who knows her knows that she's just a huge inspiration. So it's just crazy to kind of have her always there for me, and then vice versa. And obviously it's hard because she's at Stanford, so she's far, far away, which has been difficult. But, you know, we always are staying in close contact. I mean, I wanted to go to BU this weekend part of the reason was because I knew she was going to be there. So I was like, I don't get a lot of opportunities to be at the same meet besides like nationals.
Yeah.
So it's special to kind of be able to come together. And like I said, the whole family came. But yeah, she's just a big inspiration for me. The way that, like, her hard work, her dedication, just the kind of runner she is. Like, she's just gritty and just doesn't, she has no ceiling, and she knows that. And that's just inspiring to see as her big sister. She's my little sister, but she's big inspiration. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, honestly, like, you know, when you're looking at, you know, the rest of your season, you know, how do you feel mentally going forward for the remainder of your indoor season?
I feel great. My confidence has been slowly just kind of increasing, and the bounds of what I can accomplish are just becoming just greater and greater. And I'm just loving kind of how this season has already been setting up for itself, but also what is to come. So definitely super excited. I have some big goals. We're gonna ride it out. See how many I've gone 4 for 4 in facility records every race. So let's just see how many more.
Yes.
We can do.
Just keep it going, right? I love that. 4 for 4. Now, speaking of records, along with the 400, you had a chance to line up with 3 other strong, talented ladies in the 4x4. You guys broke the facility and the Ivy League record. How would you describe the connection that you and your team have this year? Because it's hard to put, you know, 4 strong ladies together, but you ladies are doing some magical things this year. So how would you describe the chemistry specifically for this 2024 year?
Yeah. We have great chemistry. We're hungry as ever. We are wanting to put Penn on the map, is what we keep saying, that we can be super competitive on the national stage. And I think it's with me running as well as I am, I think that's also been, a lot of the girls are really excited about that for me, but then also for the team. It's like, it's getting them really hyped. And so it's been great running with them. I knew that obviously I had a 51, 400 in my legs when I was running that 4x4, but I was like, Lord, I know that they're working. They were hungry. They were ready. So I was like, I got to do it. I got to meet them where they are. And so I try to put that with a good split as well. But I'm definitely really proud of them. They've come like a really long way. They're starting to really, I can see them believe in themselves even more. And just the ceiling is super high. So we're excited.
Now, obviously, you talked a little bit about, kind of your approach going into the remainder of the indoor season. But, you know, obviously, I feel like 2024 is a big year. Like, there's a lot of big meets going on, and, you know, we have outdoor as well. So what are some of your, maybe some of your big personal goals that you hope to accomplish this season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, 2024, so big year, just like you said. Mm-hmm. My freshman year, I did get to the trials. I ran in 400, and I was nervous. It was a big stage. I was a little freshman. And, you know, I told myself, I vowed to myself, the next time I get there, I'll act like I should be there, and mm-hmm. that I deserve to be there, and kind of take up space in that environment. So that's something that I'm really excited for. To get to the trials, to get to the final, like I have big goals for myself. See how close to that 50 point to 49 barrier I can get. So definitely super excited. But again, it's really just be that girl on the track. Like, it's a lot of like mentally, like how tapped in can you be? So those are some goals, just to be confident in my ability.
I love that. Now, we're definitely going to be at trials, but before we go to trials, I have to bring up this race because it's an historic meet that occurs at the University of Pennsylvania, and that's Penn Relays. That is one of my favorite meets of all time. I've had the opportunity to run at it at the high school level, collegiate, pro, and now I get to cover it, which I think is super spectacular. But you guys are the home, you know, you guys are putting this event on. It's very historic, and, you know, I know you've been running at that meet for some time now. What is so special about Penn Relays, and just how does it feel to just be the school and the program that puts on this historic meet every year?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, in high school, I was one of the many high schools that made their way to Penn Relays every year. But it's different when you're the home team. It's very, very different. I have a whole, like, everyone knows Penn Relays here. Like, my friends who are an athletes, they'll make their way to that track for Penn Relays. Like, they understand how exciting it is, and I just love the fact that Penn Relays kind of reaches outside of the track world to the people who are just my classmates. And it's just, there's nothing more special than like wearing the Penn uniform and running around that track, because every random person will cheer for you. Like, I've never heard, like, they don't know me, but they see Penn, so they're like, okay, like, let's do it. Like,
yeah.
There, go Penn. And I'm like, okay. Like, it's just a great environment to be a part of as a Penn athlete. And I think our 4x4s, look, it's going to be hungry, like I said. Mm-hmm. We're going to go for that gold. So we're excited.
Now, Bella, before we let you go, we usually ask this kind of like a variation of this question to most of our guests that come on here. We want you to pick and give your reason why. Do you prefer either indoor track? I know we're in that season right now. Or do you prefer outdoor track better, and why?
Ooh, that's hard. That's hard. I'm going to be controversial and give a hot take. I kind of like indoor track. Because of how we're forced to be in a very enclosed space, like I said, for BU, so the energy is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy that. I also like love a 300. Like, I just love to throw in a little 300. So the off event is kind of fun to do. So I would say indoor. Yeah.
Indoor. That's very, very interesting. I love that. Super excited for you. Bella, congratulations on everything that you've accomplished. I know Ashley and I, our eyes are out looking for you and everything that you do. And we're just so happy you were able to join us today. So thank you so much for your time, and best wishes to you. You're competing at Clemson, I think, next. Do you know what you're running at Clemson?
Yeah, I'll do another open four and a 4x4.
4x4 and four. Gotta love the duo right there. So Bella, thank you so much for joining us. I'm wishing you all the best. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Awesome. I loved speaking with Bella. She's just an amazing human, and just as we saw, like, dropped a whole second off of what she did, you know, in already into the season and already off to a very fast and strong start. So we're wishing her all the best. Bella's not the only one that had a really big weekend. There were so, oh my gosh, there were so many things. But I know, Ashley, you have been like glued to the computer around BU. So I'm going to kick it off to you. What were some of your highlights from the weekend from that meet?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, Liv, I spent my whole weekend watching BU. Like, I didn't do anything else. Like, that's literally all I did. So yeah. I think I watched like every big thing that happened. And then, like you said, there were so many. And before we dive into, you know, talking obviously about the Olympic marathon trials, like it would be wrong if we didn't mention that everything big that happened. And I think probably the biggest performance for me, I mean, obviously the one that stands out, I think, the most to a lot of people is Nico Young's sub 13 5K new NCAA collegiate record, the first collegiate ever under 13 minutes for indoors and outdoors. He clocked 12:57:14 in the 5K, which honestly, like, I'm not surprised. It's Nico Young, and we know he's been throwing down some ridiculous workouts at 7,000 feet of altitude in Flagstaff. And so I think we were just kind of waiting almost for something like that to happen in the right conditions. However, he did not take the win in that race. It was Adrian Wildschut who actually won this race at BU. He set a new South African record of 12:56:76. And it was an incredible race because Adrian kind of, he came around on like with 100 meters to go, and because Nico had been in the lead, and they kind of had a foot race to the finish. But it was definitely a very interesting race to watch for sure, because again, so many fast times, it's BU, such loaded fields. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So many great performances from BU. And I'm going to take it to the Strava meet. That's another meet that we had an opportunity to watch. Lots of world leaders there. You had Lieke Klaver, who runs a 50-54 in the 400 meters. Iwa Sobota, who I'm a huge fan of in that 60 meters, went 7:07 for a new meet record. And then you also had Friwani Helu, who runs the number 6 all-time mile at 4:17. Absolutely ridiculous. And I know we had a chance, you know, we were watching, speaking of 7:07, LSU, Brianna Liston, oh my goodness, just ties the LSU record of 7:07 in her season debut, Ashley. That's wild.
That's pretty legit.
Pretty legit stuff.
I mean, it's crazy to me. I think you and I were both like chatting the whole weekend, like back and forth texting. It was like every second I like took my eyes away from my laptop or social media or my streams I was watching, like something big happened. That, like, so many things happened. It was hard to keep track of it, you know?
Yeah. And I just love indoor because I get to see the sprinters really put some big fast times. But I think it gets even more elevated as it's an Olympic year. Like, it's just mind-blowing to think, if we were to think last year, I don't know if we would have been seeing a 7:07 as a season debut, but a lot of these athletes are so laser focused. We talked to Bella. She's like, I am focused, and I deserve to be competing at, you know, the Olympic trials. I'm trying to strive for that 50 point now, 49 to put myself in the mix. These athletes are ready to go, laser focused. So I'm not surprised now, just knowing the times that we're seeing. So 7:07 season debut, it just gets better from here. But again, we have to talk about Jamecia Ford, Ashley. I feel like every episode we just need to just plug in Jamecia.
Yeah.
This freshman is just insane. And I know I feel like we say this every week, but we've seen her compete in North Carolina as a high schooler, doing extraordinary things now as a Gamecock, 51:60 in that 400 meters, 22:58 in the 200, and also split 50 seconds in the 4x4. Just strong.
I mean, I think I said this like a long, maybe when she had her season debut and she ran one of like the fastest 300s, like, I think for her age group, I believe. And I think I said there, I was like, she needs to be like someone we're watching to win or potentially, you know, be within that top three at NCAAs in a 400, you know, like,
yeah.
And I think we're seeing that, like, she is consistently putting out these elite level times that rank among some of the best, not just in the NCAA, but in the world. And so, again, I'm not shocked at this point. I'm like, you know what? Jimmy's new sport is definitely going to be a highlight every weekend, in my opinion. Like, that's kind of my prediction. And yeah, again, she like had a great performance and super exciting to see for sure from a true freshman.
If you don't have Jamecia Ford right now as someone to win the 400 indoor title, I need you to really break things down and ask yourself why you don't have her on there, because she definitely needs to be she's definitely a contender for me. I know in the beginning it's always hard, and I think for sprinters, I see what you post as your season opener, but I'm like, what can you do to back that up? And she's completely backed it up week after week after week. And she's just going to continue to rise. So Jamecia Ford doing great things. Noah Lyles, 6.63 in the 60 meters at the Florida Collegiate Invitational, opened up his season. And then Toby Amusane in the hurdles, also from Nigeria in Astana, went 7.77 in the 60 meter hurdles. So again, off to great, fast performances, and it's just going to get better. Yes, Ashley.
Well, did you see the Noah Lyles race? Did you watch it?
Did I see Noah Lyles race? Yes, let's talk about it. Yeah. Let's talk about that start.
Let's talk about it for 1 second. I want to talk about that start for a second, because I think you and I both obviously saw that race.
Yes.
And he was like last out of the blocks. Obviously it's a season opener, but there's two different takeaways I think you could say about this, because I think a lot of people were talking about this on social media when we posted this video online, is yes, he was the last one out of the blocks. He didn't have a great start, but the way he was able to make that up, you know, and still come away with the win, shows obviously that he has that top end speed, and he can get to that top end speed quickly even when he's behind. So again, Noah Lyles, just clean it up a little bit, and then like, that's all you need to do,
just clean up. Speaking from Ashley Tishman, all you have to do is just clean it up a little bit. I agree, and the thing is, once you, it's fine now. Do I rather it happen now at a meet in Florida, not at trials, not the Olympics? Get this out of the way. Of course, it's the first race. You're getting the rust off. The last time he competed, you know, Prefontaine, was that the last one? Last race. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
So it was some time since then. And it's just putting all the pieces together. But when it comes down to the trials, you can't have those kinds of hiccups. So I'd rather get done now, put it behind us, move forward. But moving forward, just, we need to clean it up. Just a little bit. Don't be we need to work on reaction, and also being explosive from the start, because there are some guys that are looking to claim, you know, that 100 meter title at USA's, and you know, Olympic medals are on the line. So just gotta sharpen it up.
Oh yeah.
Are there any other performances besides the ones we talked about that caught your attention, or we pretty much nailed it?
Oh gosh. I mean, I know we also labeled this as a U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials preview show. So I'm like, oh gosh, I don't even know if we should go into everything, but maybe quickly I'll put down a couple more performances, just some bullet points from BU. Just in case you missed it, Colin Salmon wins the men's mile in 3:53.17, legit time there. You also have Kimberly May of Providence. She shocked herself and ran a number 7 all-time mile for collegiate history, and she ran 4:27.85 there, if you've seen race pictures from after that race, she was just completely shocked. And then Sammy Watson, she won the women's 500 in a world lead of 109.90.
Great. Fantastic. So again, lots of big performances across the board. But again, as Ashley mentioned, this is the preview show for Marathon Trials. It's a big weekend for a lot of athletes. Already we've had some breaking news also going into this weekend. But as I mentioned, Ashley is currently in Orlando right now. I'm holding down the fort here in Austin as best as I can. But Ashley, let's just talk about the weather and what are some of the big headlines just going into this weekend. I know that was the biggest thing. And I'm just like, I know you were texting me, you went for a run this morning. I'm like, I'm praying for y'all. I really am. Fun to be running in right now.
Yeah. So like, this is how it is. If you're looking at originally when, you know, all of this was getting organized, the trials, and, you know, there was this, you know, obviously the huge push to get things changed from, you know, it was originally supposed to start at noon in January in Orlando, but then it got moved back the start time for the marathon to 10 a.m. Thanks to, you know, a lot of the athletes coming together to lobby with that for USATF. But Thankfully, okay, this is how I kind of see it. Yes, like you said, Olivia, I went out for a run this morning. I was like, gosh, I'm like drowning in my own sweat because it's so humid and I'm not used to that. But I will say, it looks like, I will say the temperature though, like it's not like it's 70 degrees, you know, and it's not going to be 70 degrees when these athletes are running either on Saturday. If you're looking at the current forecast, so the race starts at 10 a.m. Eastern, it'll be 58 degrees at that time. And then when you go 2 hours past that, to noon, it's going to be 66. So yes, you will see the temperature increase almost 10 degrees over the course of the marathon. But honestly, for Orlando, I feel like that's like not too bad. And the humidity won't be nearly as bad as I was dying in earlier today. I think it's going to be 68% humidity at the start and then 50% by noon. So, because I know we've been, been talking with some of the athletes already, competing at the trials, and they're all like, oh, fingers crossed, like it looks like the forecast won't be as deadly as, you know, we were expecting. So yeah, there is a potential where if it feels comfortable enough, we could see pretty fast races, which I think a lot of us were expecting to see more tactical races, considering this was in Orlando and, you know, considering some of the weather conditions.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any athlete spotting? I know you've been hanging out with some of the athletes, but any major key players sightings yet while being in Orlando?
I have not had any major key player sightings, but you know me, I've always had my eyes on the lookout. But I have been hanging out with some of the tracks with athletes who are going to be competing, so that's been fun. But yeah, no big sightings yet, but trust me, I'm on the lookout.
Okay, so big news to kind of kick off the day. Jared Ward, a 2016 Olympian and the sixth place marathon finisher in Rio, made the decision late last night, which was Tuesday, to pull out of the U.S. Olympic marathon trials this weekend in Orlando. I wonder how many more we're going to see, and I don't know the extent of like the reason being behind it, but I wonder how many athletes are going to start pulling for whatever reason. I don't know if it has to do with the conditions or whatever, but that I think is a huge hit. I feel like Jared Ward is, you know, an exceptional athlete as well and has been having opportunities to train with some elite runners, so could set himself up to have a great run. But it's just tough to read things like that, especially when a lot of these athletes have been training for this moment and then to kind of just step away kind of last minute leading up to trials. But let's go ahead and make our top picks. Let's start with the ladies first. Ashley.
Oh, man.
Do you want to kick it off or do you want me to kick it off? Like,
I can kick it off.
Top two, top three. Top two, top three.
Oh, man. You know, when we both were like, hey, let's make our picks on this podcast, at first in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, like I'll be easily able to pick out three easily. And then I sat here on my notes and I was like, gosh, I don't know if I can pick three. Like, it's actually like, I feel like a harder pick than maybe you would think. But, yeah, you know, if you're looking at the women's side, I do feel like there are some veterans and some, you know, athletes that have been so consistent over the past, you know, 3-4 years that should likely be up at the front. And those three names that come to mind for me are going to be Emily Sisson, Kiara D'Amato, and Sarah Hall as well. Okay. Like I mentioned, they've been consistent for so long. I mean, you have Emily, she's an American record holder in the marathon. And she's been, you know, she's been just, ever since she even debuted at the marathon, she's been crazy fast. And so I've seen her race in Chicago and she had a good day there. And I think she's someone that's going to be looking not just to finish top three, but to win this marathon potentially as well. Mm-hmm. Then you have Kiara D'Amato. She's raced at the World Championships. You know, she's had so many records as well. You know, that's the American records in like the marathon, the half have kind of shifted, you know, a little bit, but she's had some of those records before. And then Sarah Hall, I mean, she's a veteran. Like she has been on this Team USA stage plenty of times. And she's still running elite times. And so I think that when you combine some of that experience and consistency up at the front, like I think these three women could be the ones to come away with those trips to Paris.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of on the same page. Might be okay. A couple athletes off. I agree with Emily Sisson, especially, you know, coming in as the American record holder in this event. Also the previous American half marathon record holder before Wayne Colati just broke it recently this year. Kiara D'Amato, I feel like even though she took a 9-year break from running competitively, I feel like she's still one of the top U.S. marathoners in this event. But my third spot, I'm kind of leaning toward Betsy Cena. Like, that's kind of where I'm leaning. I have Sarah Hall and Molly Seidel kind of in the mix. Like, I can see them, and I wouldn't be surprised if, like, one of those three girls just, like, shifted. But I feel like with Betsy, like, she was fifth at the Tokyo Marathon in 2023. She went 2:21. At the Rio Olympics, she was fifth in the 10K. In the 2023 Sydney Marathon, she was a champion there in 2:26. I feel like she has the experience, knows how to compete. So I'm not going to count her out. That's why I'm voting for Betsy here. Team Betsy.
Honestly, that's not a bad pick. Like, yeah. Not at all. Like you said, she looks like, I'm pulling up her World Athletics profile right now. Yeah, she ran 2:21 in Tokyo in March of last year. Yeah. And she ran 2:26 and won the Sydney Marathon last September. So
yeah,
she could be someone, honestly, like you said, that maybe people aren't thinking about, you know, maybe one of those that, like, maybe this is the downfall of covering marathons, but sometimes some of those same names are, I feel like, are thrown around all the time. And so maybe, you know, she could definitely be up there. I agree.
Yeah. I'm just curious about how this race is going to unfold. Like, obviously weather is going to play a factor. And I know we talked about this multiple times, how, like, women tend to just, like, go out, kind of do their thing. Men kind of run tactical. So now I'm thinking this is definitely going to be tactical because everybody's going to be underneath the same condition. And it's just going to be tough.
I will stop you there. I will stop you there because
you disagree.
I will say, like, let's be real. Like, the weather isn't going to be awful. Like, it's probably going to be pretty good for, you know, what we're, you know, all things considered.
Yeah.
And then you also have to think, too, the men's race, they're chasing that 2:11:30. They got to run 2:11:30, that third guy, or else he's not going to go to the Olympics. I believe that's my understanding of the rules. And so, like,
yeah, because of the standard
they kinda
time.
They have to make it fast. So if you're being smart, you kind of have to make it fast.
Oh, this is going to be really interesting. This is going to be.
They have to run under 2:11:30 if they haven't done it already, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of the majority have to, like, really push themselves.
Honestly, I feel like the way to, sorry, not to interrupt
you're good.
There,
go ahead.
But, like, I feel like the smart way to do it, you just got to make it an honest race. Like, don't do anything insane, but make it an honest race, like an honest effort. I think that's what's going to benefit all these athletes at the end of the day. And so I think that's what they got
to
do.
Okay. With that being said, let's shift to the men. I think we're both on the same page here. You know, Connor Mann's, Clayton Young, where I'm like, okay, cool. They just got to make sure they run the race. They already hit the standard. They're good to go. The next question becomes, what happens next? And again, anything happens at trials. I'm just like, best case scenario, these are the two guys that are going to be up there. So what do you think is going to happen next? Better question.
Okay. I agree. Like, I think Connor Manson, Clayton Young, as long as they, nothing goes wrong and they run their races, like, they're going to be top two. I know our own Brian Dybel had a chance to go out and film a workout with them a couple weeks ago in Orlando leading up to the trials. And I don't know if you saw that workout, Olivia, it's on our YouTube page, but they like killed an 8-mile marathon pace run, and it was absolutely insane. I think Connor Mann's close, his final 8th mile was like 4:19 or something like that, and they had been kind of cruising in the around 4:40 or so for the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think they're in, like, shape, and they're, like, raring to go, and they're really ready for this race this weekend. And like you said, I think they're kind of that top two. Now, when you, like you said, things get a little hairy when you, like, look at the, when you go to that third spot there, because I feel like they're definitely, it's kind of open, you know, like, there's no one I see where I'm like, oh, they're definitely going to earn that third spot or, you know, any clear favorite there. Like, I have some names in mind, like, maybe you'll see, like, a Scott Fobble get into that mix, or CJ Albertson. You know, CJ Albertson has an interesting story where he ran marathons in back-to-back weeks in December and ran 2:11:09 at CIM and then 2:11:08 in Mexico the following week. And, you know, he's someone that could have that strength to run a fast marathon, you know, when feeling maybe fatigued and maybe when the weather isn't in your favor. So, like, maybe I'll lean CJ Albertson, but I don't know. I really don't know. And then obviously there's Galen Rupp too in the mix because, you know, he's been around this for so long.
Let's talk about our guy, Galen Rupp here. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I think we need to have a conversation.
I'm a huge fan of Galen Rupp. And I've said this multiple times. I've told you this off camera. I feel like this year has just been kind of been a little bumpy. And I feel like this just needs to be the best race that he's had all season. Could it happen? Potentially. We don't know until we see him toe the line in Orlando. I'm rooting for him. That's what I'm going to say. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because if you do look at what he did, like he did run a good race in Chicago in October. I mean, he ran 208.48. That was a pretty solid race for him. He hadn't had a really, he hadn't ran a marathon in a while, I believe. And then, so he at least has that he can maybe look back to and take some confidence from. And then, he did run that Houston half earlier, just a few weeks ago, in January. And I think he finished 14th there, but he ran 62:37, I believe, which isn't too shabby of a time. And so it's going to be interesting. Like, obviously he's one who has of these American, of these guys in the men's field, like he's definitely has the most experience. Like that's a pretty easy call out there, but if anyone, he knows how to do it on the day. And I definitely wouldn't be surprised if he's that third spot. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. So on race day, he'll be 37, just still trucking along. That's fantastic. Let's talk about dark horses. I almost want to put Galen Rupp as my dark horse, as someone that could make his way in there. And like you said, experience is great, but it can only get you so far. You know what I mean? It can only get you so far. So it has to just be done. It has to be done on Saturday. But I think Paul Chelimo for me is someone that I could potentially can sneak in there and potentially surprise a lot of people. That's just kind of my pick.
Yeah, can we talk about Paul Chelimo for a second? Because he absolutely, for me, is not only is he a dark horse for me, but I also believe, I like 100% could believe that he'll make this team. Like, honestly, if I'm in my heart of hearts, obviously I just said that I don't know who's going to make that third spot. But in my heart of hearts, I could see him, like, I think he could finish top three. And that may be a huge hot take, but I really don't think so. Because if you're looking at what Paul Chelimo has done throughout the course of his career, I mean, he's had a storied distance career. And, I've been doing some digging, and obviously it's an interesting scenario, right? Because this will be his first marathon ever. He has never ran a marathon. This will be his marathon debut. He qualified for this based on running a halftime.
Right.
And I mean, he's like, hey, why not? I'm going to give this a shot and see what happens. And, I think, again, I did some research, and I think I saw that his coaches think like he's looking to run like 208 or something like that, which, I mean, that would put them right up there at the very top of that field if he's able to do that. And I'm really excited to see it happen. I'm a big fan of Paul Chelimo, so I'm just going to throw him in there. It's like, yeah, he's a dark horse, but I could also realistically see him getting in top three.
Will we see Wayne Colati vibes here, where it was like, oh, season debut in the half marathon, and I'm just going to break the American record?
Good
Why
point.
Not for Paul here? First marathon ever. Honestly, in our life, and let's just do something insane.
That's a good comparison, I think, because I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's won medals on the track, in the Olympics at the 5K level. So now I think he has that kind of range. And yeah, I mean, again, Wayne Colati, I think, surprised a lot of people when she broke the American record in that half in her debut. And then she, a week later, won world, or not world cross, Team USA cross. So I could definitely see that happening. I like the comparison.
Yeah. It's going to be an exciting race for sure. Like you said, a lot of these athletes are chasing after they have to get the standard, and you got to get, as close as you can to that top three. Otherwise they just keep going down. So it's going to be exciting. Again, Ashley will be on the ground for this, covering the marathon trials. So it's going to be exciting. Ashley, any other thoughts around marathon?
Well, I'm trying to think. I do think there are some other interesting storylines. If you don't mind, if we just go and talk about them for a minute, because I think it'd be interesting. Another athlete who will be making her marathon debut is Jenny Simpson this weekend.
Yes!
An intriguing storyline, because obviously she's, one of the most storied 1500-meter runners in American distance running for the women ever. And now she's going to be doing this marathon this weekend. And I know I believe she's really looking forward to it. And, this is definitely something new for her at this point in her career. And I'm really excited to see what she does as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what she does. debuts coming out, veterans coming out. The weather is going to be fun. So it's going to be exciting. Outside of marathon trials, I know your brain's probably all over that. But if you're also looking to see what other events are going on this weekend, there's a lot of state championships happening. Corey and I broke down Alabama, Delaware. I feel like there's one more. I know New Jersey groups are happening this week. Rhode Island. We have World Athletic Tours kicking off too. So there's a couple over this weekend too, to stay tuned. Ashley, am I missing anything? Lots of state champions. It's crazy to think state championships are rolling. I know your brain is like marathon trials right now.
Well, no, you're fine. And there are other things too. Like I believe, let's see, I'm pulling up the schedule here for our live events. You're also going to have a meet at BU there. You're going to have the Bruce Lee and Scarlett White invite. So that'll be live as well. And then I believe we have a meet in Albuquerque too, the New Mexico Collegiate Classic, which should be interesting, as well as I believe the Celebration Point Indoor Classic. So, and the East Coast Invitational.
Yes.
The list goes on. I'm like looking down the schedule. I'm like, oh, there's another one.
Yep.
And another one.
But you know, everybody's eyeballs are going to be on this.
Exciting.
Everyone's eyeballs are going to be on the marathon trials this weekend for sure. That's where my brain will be.
For sure.
Everything. All right. Well, Ashley. Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in, calling live. I can't wait for next week. Well, next week you'll be in studio with me, which will be awesome in the new spot. So as always, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Please like, subscribe, stay tuned to the site also for just all the content. Ashley is going to be grabbing so much information for you and putting out some really great stuff. So stay tuned to all that. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.